heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Thank you. You can be seated.
Welcome, everyone, this morning to Calvary Baptist Church, Powder Springs, and say it's good to see each and every one of you. And we're glad to have those that are watching online, Facebook Live, and so we're getting used to juggling on Sunday morning and having a couple different things going on at one time. And really, that's nothing new. It's just a couple different ways of viewing our services. And let me say this, that we have gotten so many responses about Facebook Live. And thank you for those responses. We're definitely going to continue having Facebook Live in our services. And the further down the road we get, we want to improve that as far as the stand, being out in the aisle. Of course, there's still ways to pass by that. But we're definitely excited about those who watch, those who've been watching. But we're excited about you guys being here this morning. And we are thrilled to be here. Today is graduation Sunday. And as everyone knows, things have been different since the pandemic hit. And so we are playing catch up with very, very important things we want to do. And graduation is one of those things. And so this morning we're going to honor those, not just high schoolers, but at the same time, you know, of elementary as well. Typically, there's a graduation there, and because they had to forfeit that, we're going to honor them this morning and give honor where honor is due. And before I go any further, I want to say well done not only to the children and young people, but to the parents who has been the driving force behind these children and young people. And that's definitely what it takes to get the job done. I want to mention a couple things this morning before we bow for prayer. Number one, the offering will be as it was last Sunday, and it will be at the conclusion of the service. And so tithes, offerings, there will be some of our men at both of our entrances. And so just remember that on your way out. Also, Facebook Live tonight will be our service, online only. We're going to continue our meeting in person on Sunday mornings. This is as much as I want to say now. I don't want to take up too much time talking, but next Sunday morning will be our third in-person worship. And as long as no one's sick, as long as things have been going accordingly, why myself and the deacons were meeting this afternoon to just put some final thoughts concerning phasing back in our second phase. And so we will let you know just as soon as we get that nailed down, with enough time for you to make preparations concerning what our next phase is. I do want you to remember some folks in prayer. Let me say, first of all, we got a praise report this morning from Diane Ely, and that is Brother Randy Ely's mother. She has been down and out for a good long while now. I believe it's been battling dementia and some things along those lines. I mean, she really got down, as Miss Diane said, really got down to death's door even. But the Lord has touched her in a tremendous way this past week. And she even got up and walked down some stairs and did some other things. And so we praise the Lord for that. I'm telling you, when you are taking care of someone, a loved one, a family member, friend, and you see a turn of events, that's worthy to be mentioned and for God to receive the praise. So we praise the Lord for that. Do remember Miss Diane's brother as he is not doing that well, his cancer and treatments and all, just struggling and not doing well, didn't respond well to chemo this past week. Remember Miss Lynn Vandiver as she goes to a couple doctor visits concerning her situation, some stomach issues. Let's continue to remember Miss Betty Berry in our prayers. Let's remember all of our shut-ins. Brother Harold Dolph, I got a message yesterday that he fell, and he's been having some trouble keeping his muscles under control. And so whatever happened, he ended up in the floor for about 3 hours yesterday and found his way back to the chair. So let's remember Brother Harold Dolph in our prayers. Let's remember Jim Daly as he's having breathing issues. Really lift up Brother Jim, Miss Dawn. They're really, really having a time right now. When your breathing goes, life is not fun. When you are struggling to breathe, life is not fun. Remember Catherine Plemons' mother as well. She's having trouble this morning, not doing that good. That's where Miss Catherine's at this morning. There's many, many requests, but we're condensing it the best we can. Let me say this before we do pray. I did receive a message from Brother Brian Busby, and I was told to mention this. They were not able to be here this morning. They had a couple to be in the graduation service, but word for word, unfortunately, a volunteer with the children's home has been tested positive for the COVID-19 who had minimal contact with house parents. And out of an abundance of caution, they will be all be tested and not leave campus until results are in. And so that was the message I was asked to deliver this morning, and so I did it in the word for word as it was given. And so please pray. Let me say this as well. I know there's a lot of emotions over this COVID-19, and we can interpret it many ways, but you cannot be too careful. And I am I'm against fear. I don't believe in fear. I believe it's not from the Lord. But all you got to do is continue to be safe, be sanitary, you know, trust the Lord. But let's don't rule out what is evident in our land, that something's going on of a flu. And so let's remember the children's home. Let's remember us here. Let's remember every individual and those who already have had the COVID-19 and who's recovering from it. And so let's remember these things. Deacon's meeting just after the service. And good Lord willing, we will be back tonight at 6 p.m. But I do want to pray and ask God's blessings on the service this morning. And hey, listen, you've come. We're here. Let's worship. Amen? Amen? Let's worship the Lord this morning. Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning. And God, we're not people of fear. We're not going to begin to swallow the pill that the media has given us. But at the same time, Lord, we're going to be wise. We're going to be careful. We're going to consider our brother and sister's feelings. Some are at home this morning. Father, they're at home because they feel they should be home. Many are at home because of their age, and many are at home this morning because of their immunity, Lord, their immune systems. So God, we just lift those up to you, them that are at home worshiping through Facebook Live. Father, this morning we pray for our children's home ministry. We pray that you would protect every Every child, Lord, we pray for a clean bill of health. Lord, these tests come back, let it be negative. We pray for all the staff, Lord. Dear God, we pray for healing graces and merciful graces upon them, God, that you've kept them safe thus far through this time. But Lord, we do pray for the one that has it, that you would be with them and let them, Lord, rebound in health speedily. Let it not get no worse than it is for them, that they may be back to health. Lord, we're thankful for our graduates this morning. What a year it has been so far. But God, we dare not overlook those who have accomplished. And we're thankful, Lord, for the parents behind them that has pushed them and encouraged them, even during this time of pandemic and uncertainty, balancing jobs and different things along the day. They still continue to make sure the schoolwork was done while being at home. Here they are this morning at their church to walk proudly. Lord, we glory in that. We're proud of them. We just pray that you bless them. Use the service today. We pray that you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the times that we are in, we definitely, I believe, can relate to this song that I believe the Lord's in our way today. We go through a lot of storms. Our land is in much dismay. Our thoughts sometimes are a fear, I'm afraid. And we just need to trust in the Lord. He said, cast all of your cares upon me because I care for you. And that's what we want to do this morning. Cast all of our cares upon him. But you pray for us this morning. We're going to sing an old song that I hope will be a blessing to you. It says, keep me safe till the storm passes by.
In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Safe till the storm passes by, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. The storm passes by. Many times Satan's whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies. And when the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee till the storm passes by, till the storm passes over. till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand, and keep me safe till the storm passes by. Lord, keep me safe till the storm passes
Wasn't that good this morning? Amen. Again, it's my honor and joy to be able to call the names of these graduates. Again, how very proud we are. First up, Gracie Martin, grad of Summit Baptist Christian Academy. Gracie loves to sing and loves making friends with everyone. Gracie loves Jesus. Go ahead. Next, Ryder Hancock, grad of All Good Elementary. Ryder has the best manners in his class and always willing to help a friend. Jackson Slagle, grad of Hendricks Elementary. Jackson is full of life and quick to help. That is your kindergarten graduates this morning. That was your kindergarten graduates. All right. Next, fifth grade graduates, Jackson Martin, grad of Allatoona Elementary, Junior Beta Club, Wildcat Award for great manners and loves to play the drums. Yes, he does. Jeremy Slagle, grad of Hendrix Elementary, Mr. Positivity and Brilliant Behavior. Jacob Chester, grad of Clarkdale Elementary, Principal's List and Perfect Attendance. That's a good thing, Principal's List. Ansley Vickers, grad of Hendrix Elementary School. Proud of you. Next, Kristen Bennett, grad of Powder Springs Elementary, Honor Roll and Broadcast Team. We are very proud of them. And then we have two more that was to be here for fifth grade, and they're part of our children's home. Joshua McClung, grad of Kemp Elementary. Josh loves to read and enjoys hearing a good story, and he loves to laugh and be outdoors. Good job, Josh. And then Presley Cochran, grad of Kemp Elementary. Presley is very creative, loves to sing, and has a smile that will light up the room. Amen to that. That's your fifth grade graduates. Now, high school graduates, of course, Kevin Brook would have been here. He's part of the home, graduate of Hillgrove High School. Good job, Kevin. And then Spencer Maddox, graduate of Paulding County High School and captain of the drum line. Just give a graduation prayer for what's been done and what is yet to do. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning, and we are so very thankful and grateful for these, Lord, that have completed, Lord, one rung on the ladder of life. I pray that you would let them, Lord, enjoy the rest of their summer as they are much deserving of. And the Lord, as we begin to get back into the new school year, we know things will be different. God, we know that it won't be the same as last year. So I pray for a spirit of eagerness to learn in the midst of indifference. And Lord, I do pray for these that you would protect them. Protect all of our children, Lord. All the children of the world who are getting ready very soon to go back to school, but that you would be with these and keep them safe and keep them healthy, Lord, and that you would just impart unto them your peace each and every day. Lord, let them not wrestle with that spirit of fear because of the current situation being pumped out of the televisions and radios day in and day out, but Lord, we're thankful for parents who cover these in prayer. We pray that they would continually do that, they may not have to battle that spirit of fear. And Father, we just pray that you'll continually bless them, make their path straight, lead, guide, direct, God. We know that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, and so shed light, Lord, upon these as the days go by so they might know where to step. And again, I pray that you'll be with the parents. Give them what they need to guide their ships that are at home. We love you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Proud of you guys. Very, very, very proud this morning. Not this morning, I ain't singing. I sung at the house before I left. I have to do something this morning before I preach. These socks were bought for me on my birthday from CJ and Amanda Martin. And I was told to wear a pair of them when we got started back to church. So these are Dash Hound Dogs on blow-up floats I'm wearing. And so we praise the Lord for funny socks. We got a Dash Hound at home, and we love him. What a great job Miss Christy has done on the balloons and all. Can we give her a big hand? Thank you, Miss Amanda, for the work you've done, orchestrating all of the names and people and classes. Appreciate all of you putting in overtime for this. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, I believe we're caught up with everything. It just goes by so fast, no matter how slow you take it. It goes by so fast. Ephesians chapter number 5, I want to read one verse in just a few moments, but that is verse number 17 this morning. The message this morning is to all of us, not just those that have graduated or anyone who has graduated and going off to college, anyone who may be watching this morning who has graduated. But the message this morning is to every single one of us. And saying that, I want to say that the most important concern that we all should have in this life, number one, is knowing Jesus, knowing Him in a very personal way, knowing that when you die, heaven will be your home. But second to that is knowing God's plan for your life. Knowing God's plan for your life. I believe that is second to salvation. The most important concern we all ought to have this morning is knowing God's plan for our lives. Even during a time of difficulty, as we've been experiencing since March, God still has a plan for us individually. We're still sheep, and He's still the shepherd. And each one of the sheep has their own personality, and the Lord has His plan for each and every one of the sheep. So God's plan for our life. That's what I want to preach on this morning for a few moments, is God's plan for our life. Many Christians feel this morning that God's plan is a mysterious thing. If you talk to some people, Christians rather, some will give the commentary or they will say that, well, you know, God's plan, God's will, knowing God's mind, it's just a mysterious thing. Some will even say that God is playing a spiritual hide-and-seek game. Or tag, you're it, concerning God's plan, concerning God's will. And truth be known, that's not the case at all this morning. God is not playing hide-and-go-seek. In fact, I believe it's right the opposite sometimes. We play hide-and-go-seek on God. But yet nothing is hid from God. You see, this morning, God's plan for your life and God's plan for my life, it's not a mysterious thing. It's not a game. But God wants the very best for you. And God wants the very best for me. And this morning, I'm not up here to answer hard questions that you may have that probably to some of you has already came to your mind. If God wants what's best for me, why am I experiencing troubles in life? I'll talk to you later if you want to talk about things along those lines. But God this morning, He has a plan, He has a will, and ultimately He wants you and I to benefit from it. Psalm 84, just listen, Psalm 84. In verse number 11, the latter part of that verse says this: no, listen everyone, no good thing will He withhold to them that walk uprightly. Someone said one time, well, I'd become a Christian, I'd go to church, but I don't want to stop everything I'm doing or I might miss out. You come to God in faith and repentance this morning and give your life to Him, you'll miss out on a lot of heartache. You'll miss out on a lot of bad decisions, leaving the old life and embracing the new life. You see, this morning God wants you to benefit from His plan. This world has a bad title or a bad tag upon Christianity that if you follow Jesus, it's a set of rules, 1 through 10. And if you strike out at one of those rules, He's going to zap you. But that's not the case at all. It's a lack of knowledge, really, is why the world thinks that. Because the Bible says in the New Testament that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. You see, whenever we fail the Ten Commandments, it's supposed to awaken us to know that we can't fulfill the commandments. And it ushers us right to the arms of Jesus who did fulfill those commandments. And because of that, that realization, God, I can't fulfill those commandments, but Lord, You have, so therefore I accept You and Your righteousness. That's how you get to go to heaven this morning. But then outside of that, this world just has a very mundane and very, I don't know, just a tag of disgrace, really, at times on Christianity. Oh, God is just an angry God. That's not the case at all. God wants you to benefit. No good thing will He withhold to them that walk uprightly in Him. I want to mention a few things this morning concerning God's plan for your life. In my life, three things that we actually are supposed to do. And, you know, I believe in the free will of man. We are free moral agents. God does not force Himself on someone. He doesn't want robots to follow Him. The Lord wants to be loved. And so, therefore, we have free will to choose. This morning we have three things to do concerning God's plan for our life. Number one, we are to understand God's plan for our life. We're in Ephesians chapter number 5. Notice, if you would, in verse number 17. He says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And so right off the bat, concerning God and His will, which is another way of saying God and His plan, He tells us that we would benefit from being wise-natured about this thing. And we will do good at understanding what God's will is for our life. Do you know what God's plan is for your life this morning? We know the very number one thing is for that all men should come to repentance, which means do an about face, which means you're living life this way. Repentance means this. Now you're living life this way. It's coming to the place of realizing that your righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible says in Isaiah. And there is no way, no how, by chance or circumstance that you can go to heaven on your own merit. Number one, that must be addressed. And it's through the righteousness of Jesus. We said that already. But second to that, it's understanding God's plan for your life. Once you get that part straightened out. Okay, Brother Justin, I know I'm saved. There's been a time and place in my life where I repented of my sin. I didn't go down the list to every one of them. There's so many. But I said, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm going to hell without you. I am a ship on the sea being tossed with the winds and waves. I do not know my purpose. I come to you in faith and repentance. I believe in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus." At that moment, the Bible says, Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, you're saved. The second part to that is knowing God's plan. God's plan is for everybody to be saved, although everybody won't be saved. But say you're saved this morning. Say, "I've been down that road. I knelt. I gave my heart to Jesus." Question number two, or point number one, understand God's plan for your life. Do you know what God's plan for you is? Notice a word in verse number 17. He says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." The word "understanding" here, it means to comprehend, or it means to put together. You see, this is the phase that some people get in. They say that, you know, "I just can't understand what God wants me to do. I can't put it together." Well, the Bible tells us that we ought to be people who endeavor to understand. Listen, church, the very most important thing outside of salvation this morning is understanding and endeavoring to understand each and every day what God's plan is for your life and my life. If there's ever a day that I wake up and I say, "I am not interested in God's plan," is the day that I am going backwards. I'm backslid. Each and every day ought to be a day of trying to put together what God wants us to do. So the word "understanding" here, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding," or putting together, comprehending what the will of the Lord is. We ought to be people who understand God's plan for our life. It has to do with putting together and comprehending what God wants you to do. Let me say this. Understanding God's plan cannot be done with human reason. Understanding, putting together God's plan for your life, trying to understand and unfold what it is exactly God would have you to do as a parent, have you to do as an employee, where you should go, what you should not be doing, what you should be doing. This cannot be done through human reasoning. Human reason will not allow you to understand God's will for your life. And so what does it take to understand God's plan? What does it take to put together God's plan for your life and mine? How do we understand? How do we comprehend? The scripture says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the word of the Lord is. Question is, how do we comprehend it and how do we understand it? By divine renovation. By divine renewal. The human reasoning will not allow you to understand God's will. It takes divine renovation. We're in Ephesians 5. Turn, if you would, follow along to Romans 12. I want you to notice in Romans 12 in verse number 2, one word. Talking about the plans of God, the will of God. He says in Romans chapter number 12 and verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So number one, he tells us how we to at least start down a path where we began to put together and comprehend what God's plan is for our life. Number one, it's not through human reason, but it's through divine renovation. That word renewing, look at the word renewing. It means to renovate. It means to renovate. There's a show called Hometown on one of the HGTV channels. Hometown. Ben and Aaron, we love that show until they start playing reruns all the time. But and it's filmed at from Laurel, Mississippi. I love Mississippi. I used to live in Mississippi, Pascagoula, Mississippi, and but Laurel, Mississippi. And on that show, they have a group of people. One person. They have two people. And they show them two or three houses, and they're dumps. The houses are dumps. I mean, you can just look at their faces. They're like, and I'm thinking the whole time, won't just go buy a new place for the amount of money you're putting in this place. But the whole idea of their show is they're trying to renovate the whole town of Laurel, Mississippi, house by house. So they'll take a house. They will show a second house, and the couple says, you know what? I think this is us. This is our budget. And what happens next? Buddy, they go to town. I mean, they are gutting that place out. They're knocking down sheetrock and countertops. And, I mean, things that I would have probably kept in the house. They knocked it out, gutted it out. This one home, it was absolutely engulfed, I guess you could say, by termites. I mean, termites were everywhere, just eating up the whole house. I mean, they were holding hands saying, we're family here. You move away. But they go in there and then they start to replace things one by one, the support beams, the undergirding of the house with the termite episode, and then eventually they have a renovated house. Same word in Romans 12:2. He's talking about understanding what God's will is, but the first step in understanding what God's will is, there has to be renovation of the mind. How am I going to understand what God wants me to do when I'm taking everything in my mind that Hollywood has to offer, that music radio has to offer, other things of this world has to offer, and I never take in the Bible? The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One of the questions I ask someone when they say, Brother Justin, I just don't know what God wants me to do in my life. I'll ask him, do you go to church? No. Well, Brother Justin, I'm just at a crossroads in my life, and everything is falling apart at the seams, and I just don't know what God wants me to do in my life. I'll say, well, do you pray? No. Well, surely you read the Bible and look up scriptures that deal with, you know, God's plan and what do I do, and, you know, I hadn't done none of that, Brother Justin. Well, no wonder you don't know God's plan for your life. And listen, I'm not saying that there aren't times where it's difficult to detect and trace God's hand, because it very much is sometimes. Brother CJ, amen. There's times where it's not, and I wish it was spelled out in the clouds, but it's never there. In the Old Testament, God led the children of Israel cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. There's some times where I go and look up, there's no cloud there. And sometimes in the night season when I need answers concerning God's will and God's plan for my life, there's not a pillar of fire there at night sometimes. And so sometimes it is easy, or it's difficult rather, to understand God's plan. But yet, you see, the solution is always the same. It starts with divine renovation. He says, and be not conformed to this world. That's where the struggle takes place. You know, here a Christian is and they're in the world, and the call is not to be part of the world. That's the struggle. Hey, we're all on level grounds. It's all level grounds around the cross this morning. Hey, you're looking at someone who struggles 7 days a week. It's a miracle I'm here preaching this morning. I've said that every time I preached. And so God gives grace to make it. It's level grounds around the cross. But he tells us to not be conformed to this world or be fashioned alike to this world. If we are a born-again child of God, not that we're perfect, but if we have proclaimed that we know him, then there is a divine challenge upon our life not to be fashioned alike this world, not to listen to the same music the world listens to, not to watch the same movies this world listens to. And listen, that's not being harsh. That's not being some judge throwing lightning bolts down. That is helping you benefit the very best from God. Because how are we going to know God's plan and know what steps to take when we've downloaded all this imagery into our minds? We've downloaded all this audio into our hearing. And then we go to church, and or at least we sit in our homes or wherever the situation may take place, where we're having this moment of crisis and we want to know God's will, God's plan, and we spent no time in his word, prayer, or around God's people. So he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the renovation of your mind. You see, where it starts of understanding God's plan for our life has to do with renovating our minds, taking out the trash. I believe Brother Al Clayton preached a message on that one time. Taking out the trash. That is the first step of knowing the second most important question to your life outside of salvation is, what is God's plan for my life? It's understanding God's plan. You have to understand it to know what it is. In order to understand it, there has to be a renovation of the mind. Let me mention a few things from Romans 12, 1 and 2. In verse number 1, of course, in verse number 1 and 2, there's a process till you get to that place of realizing what God's plan is. In verse number 1, there's presentation. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so how you come to the point of understanding what God wants you to do in life, you must, number one, present yourself to God. Now he says in verse number 1, that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Does that make sense this morning? Living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. Not in the Old Testament where the priest would go and they would slay the animal and put them on. Listen, God's not asking for a dead sacrifice. God's not asking for a human to give his life like some of these radical Islams do. No, 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 no. But God is asking not to give our lives in death, but for us to give our life for him in life. Present our bodies a living sacrifice. So he doesn't want us to die, but He wants us to give up our will. It has to do with presentation. And then He says this. He says that you may, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. In the Old Testament, let me say it this way. Those animals that were sacrificed, they had to meet certain criteria. Some had to be without spot, without blemish. Some had to have, you know, just whatever the situation called for. They had to be, it was a chosen sacrifice. You remember Cain and Abel? The time came in the process of time, the scriptures say, in the process of time, that there was a particular day where offerings were made, and Cain brought the fruit of his hands, but Abel brought the firstlings of his flock, which means that Abel, he brought the very best of his flock. One that was without blemish, without spot, and that was the one that he presented to God. In the Old Testament, it mattered what kind of sacrifice was offered to Jehovah God. I want to say this morning that as we begin our trail of learning, trying to figure out what God's plan is in our life, it has everything to do with presentation. Like in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice, holy. If we're going to hear from heaven and hear from God, we got to be people who live right. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but it must be preached. We have to be people who live right, people who are holy, not people who are perfect, but people who go after perfection. Not that we've apprehended it, but this one thing I do, as Paul has said, that I go after the mark of the prize. He says, I'm forgetting the things which are behind me, and I press toward the mark. Listen, the Lord is looking for surrender this morning. Of a holy sacrifice, as in the Old Testament. Another thing was required of that Old Testament sacrifice. Not only, of course, that one was a dead sacrifice, but it had to be holy. But then when the priest would put it on the altar, they had to let it go. Which meant that I have hand-picked this sacrifice without spot, without blemish, and I have slain it. Now it's on the altar, and it's yours. Can I say this morning, that's exactly what Jesus wants from us. He wants us to go to Him with our cares and concerns. He wants us to go to Him with things that are bothering us, that may be cramping us from following Him, things that may have us in a spiritual rut in our lives. God wants us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto Him, the very best we have each and every day. But then once we do it, we take our hands off of it. It's no longer ours. But it's His. That's why sometimes some of the same people come to the altar, and that is a very good thing, by the way, coming to the altar. I like what Curtis Hudson said one time. He says, I'm not worried about those who come to the altar. I'm worried about those who don't come to the altar. Come to the altar. And if you come every Sunday, keep coming. Come twice a service if you need to. But what you find out is, and I know personally, we lay down that sacrifice. Lord, I promise I'll do this. Or Lord, I want to start my week out right. I want to read my Bible and pray. I want to know Your will for my life. And so, Lord, here it is. But come Monday morning, we take it back and say, well, I'll make it home in time for a late night reading after you done fought the devil all day and lost every round. Huh? And then you come home, oh, I'll say a prayer after you done fought the devil all day, and now you're laying down and fast asleep you go. Listen, it belongs to Him. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Take your hands off of it. I like what happened to Abraham in the Old Testament. Abraham, in one particular place, I believe it's Genesis 12 or 13, somewhere along there. No, 15. That's it. 15. It was the Abrahamic blood covenant God made with him. And he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Abram. And the sacrifice was literally diced in pieces. Two robes were made. God allowed the deep sleep to fall upon Abram. And the Bible says that Jesus, or the Bible says that the Lord walked down the aisle covenanting with himself. Because he knew Abraham wouldn't live up to his part, you see. That's the thing about the new covenant. It's based upon the blood of Jesus, not based upon the performance of man. I'm glad that whenever I sin, I don't unsave myself, because it's based upon the new covenant. I'm glad that when God reveals his purpose for me, he don't withdraw and say, boy, you disgust me, you're not serving me. No, it's based upon the new covenant. But I said that to say this. Abraham laid down the sacrifice. There was a moment in that setting where the pieces were distributed and laid down. And the fowls of the air came down to steal that sacrifice. And the Bible says that Abraham drove them away. You know what happens? Whatever we do on Sunday, whatever we do on Wednesday, we come to God, and it should be this the house of mercy. This is the house of hope, the house of help. We ought to come and lay our burdens down. And then when Monday comes along, and the devil tries to steal that sacrifice, or human reasoning tries to get it back up the altar and say, oh, you can do better on your own. You don't need Jesus. Just add him to the end of your day. Just as in Abraham's day, as the fowls came down to steal the sacrifice, Abraham drove them away. Whenever we do present our bodies a living sacrifice, don't expect the devil to leave you alone, but do expect the devil to come after you even harder. But when he does, it's your job and my job, by the good word of God, to drive him away. The devil been giving you problems this past week? Drive them away with Jesus. The devil been giving you problems this morning? And you told God how you need him? Drive the devil away with the words of God. Meaning that you are a child of God. He loves you. There's never a time he will lead you astray. Through the deepest waters of this life, he will be with you. He'll never leave you comfortless. Satan tries to tell you the opposite. This morning, drive them away. Drive them away with truth. The devil tells you a lie, refute that lie with truth. In other words, combat it with truth. The devil says you ain't loved. Say, I'm combating this lie with the truth of God's word. God says, for God so loved the world. He loves me, Satan. It's not that he doesn't love me. Abraham drove him away. And listen, this is the first stop in realizing God's plan for your life. Back in Romans chapter number 12, verse 1, there's presentation. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so there's God's will right there. The very first step in God's will after salvation is just saying, Lord, here I am. Do what you want to with my life. I need you. You are my bread of life. I need you. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. But then in verse number 2, there's not only presentation but transformation. I love this one. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, a lot of this happens at one time. You're giving yourself to God, and as you do that, he's renovating your mind. And then there's this transformation that takes place. This word, transformation, it means in the Greek, metamorphos. Metamorphos. Which, where we get the word metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. Metamorphos. Metamorphosis. Remember, Jesus was on the Mount Transfiguration, and he was metamorphosed. He was metamorphosed. His raiment did change, and there was this shine about him. There was this transformation, the Mount of Transfiguration. It wasn't nothing that he did on the outside. It was the capabilities he had on the inside. And he transfigured himself before those men. And I want to say today that there is a transformation that must take place after salvation, and that is the transformation of our minds. Now, the word transformed here, metamorphosize, or metamorphosis, I like to think of the butterfly. And I said this story before, and I want to say it again because I love the story, and we'll bring it to a close in just a few moments, or in just a little while. There was a caterpillar one day that climbed up to the foot of the tree and looked up and seen all the birds flying, or all the butterflies flying. Said, I wish I could do that one day. I wish I could fly. Seen butterflies flying, seen birds flying, seen all kinds of things flying. This little caterpillar did. Said, I'll never get to do that. And so as the days passed by, it inched its way back up the tree and found a little notch in the tree. And in its discouragement and in its despair, curled up to die in that notch of the tree. But as the days rolled by, even then, it just didn't want to be bothered by the outside world. Didn't want to be bothered by the elements of the world, so it kind of just wrapped himself in a cocoon, totally, totally isolated from the world, and just gave up to die. But you see, there was something about what was on the inside of that caterpillar, Brother Charlie, that would not let him die. And so because it was ready to give up but could not give up, because of the DNA of what was in that caterpillar, it started to fight. Got my boxing gloves at the house. I want to go buy that little rubber dummy at Academy pretty soon. I walked in there the other day and pop, some bolts fell at the bottom, so me and Lily took off running. It wanted to fight, and so it said, because of what was on the inside, the DNA, how it was made up, it said, I am getting out of here. Found a little opening. And you see, it was through that tough wall. It was through that hardness. It was through that dark place that finally and eventually this caterpillar got out of that cocoon. And it had a wing, it had another wing, and it started to fly away. Ooh. I know butterflies don't make noises, but my butterfly does. It started to fly away. You say, what does that have to do with anything this morning? As Christians, those of us who have professed Jesus as our personal Savior, we have kingship DNA. We have Him on the inside of us. He will not allow us to stay in a dark, depressed state. He will not allow us to stay in gloom and doom. There is something about a Christian that wants to fight back and fight back. And the more we fight, the more we bloom for Jesus. And one day, He is going to give us flying lessons as the eagles push you out of the nest, and you'll be ready to fly. But you see, the caterpillar, butterfly, is a transformation. He said in verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so I say this morning, how does this divine renovation take place? It takes place by presentation. Verse 1, it takes place by transformation. Verse 2, and then also in verse 2, there's realization. Through this process, you will begin to understand. As you and I lay our will to the side, We embrace more of Jesus. Our minds begin to sober up and become to be more pure-minded, be more accurately set on Him. We start to understand what God would have us to do each and every day. It's not a mystery. It's not a game. It is the plan of God. And in conclusion, as they come, I'll say this. Psalm 84:11, once again, no good thing will He withhold to them that walk uprightly. God has a plan for all of our life. You've heard it for as long as you've been in church in your life. My first point this morning is just our responsibility has to do with understanding God's plan. Ephesians 5:17, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We do that. We understand. We put together. We comprehend. Not by human reasoning, but by divine renovation. The good Lord willing, tonight, I want to take my time and finish this, which will be Facebook Live only. We'll talk about our second thing that we're to do. Not only we're to understand, but then we're to respond. We're to respond. And then the third thing is we're to conclude. We're to understand God's plan. We're to respond to God's plan. But then we're to conclude God's plan. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You. We praise You for who You are, for what You do. We feel like now is the invitation time. If someone needs to come, let them come freely, Lord. Let there be a liberty for them to come. And Father, for those who are watching, we're so thankful for them. I pray, Lord, if they're in need of a word from You, I hope and pray that they receive that word this morning. But Lord, I pray that You would speak to hearts and allow them to do business with You in just a moment. We love You. We thank You. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.